Welcome to this inspiring message from Grace Life Church. We do hope you enjoy it. For more information about us, please see our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
Right, church. Today, I thought we'd talk about words and thoughts of the head versus words and thoughts of the heart. So we talk about the quality and the type of words, and I guess the quantity of words, versus what's actually behind those words. Words where the heart is engaged, the spirit behind those words. There's a difference. So, in fact, let me give you an example. I'm at that age now, it's like glasses on, glasses off, glasses off, glasses on. Lights on, lights on, wax on, wax off, yes. So let's start off with words and how you use them. So if I was to walk up to one of you and say, you know, how's your day? Have you had a good day? Well, you would answer according to the emotions and feelings that you would have had to what's happened to you during that day. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. So, if you have had good feelings and emotions, then you'd say, yeah, it's been a good day. If you've had bad feelings and emotions to what's happened to you, you'd most likely say, yeah, well, it's okay, or not so bad, or what have you. So, here's the thing. Whether it's been a good day or a bad day depends on how you actually feel about that day. I.e., it's irrespective of what's actually happened to you, in actuality, is how you have responded to what's happened to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So, to be simplistic, I could say that how you feel depends on how many good, happy thoughts and emotions you've had compared to how many bad feelings, emotions you've had to that day. Mm-hmm. So now we've kind of reduced it to numbers.
Correct.
Right? Okay, so that's something. So what we're talking about here is like a seesaw per day, if you can imagine that. So if on the one day you've had more great thoughts and feelings than bad, then life is good.
Yeah.
But if on that day, for whatever reason, you've had bad feelings and bad thoughts and bad emotions, then it's been a bad day. Okay. That's interesting. So, whether you've had a good day or a bad day depends on the number of thoughts and feelings that you've had that were either good or bad. Right, okay. It's down to numbers. So if this is true, I put it to you that a good, responsible Christian, their duty is to ensure that on a daily basis, they have more good thoughts, feelings, speak more good words than they do bad words, feelings, emotions, and what have you. Would you agree? Would you agree that it's in your power of control to do that? You see where I'm leading with this? So, as I said, they are your kind of surface words, your thoughts and what have you, your subconscious words, your conscious words rather. And then there's the thoughts of the hearts, the spirit behind the thing. Proverbs, great book. Proverbs 23:7 states, "For as he thinks within himself, so is he." But it goes on to say, "He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you." So what we're seeing here is that there's two types of words. There's two categories here. He said, eat and drink. So he's implying one thing, but his heart is implying something else. Would we agree? So you could speak good words, because remember, we've just been speaking about quantities. You can speak a whole bunch of good words and stuff like that, but as I said, it's the spirit behind those words which is important. It's where your heart's actually engaged. Let me try this. There's another proverb. It's from the world. He says, "It's not what you think you are, but what you think you are." It's not what you think you are, but what you think you are. Okay, let me punctuate it properly. It's not what you think you are, but what you think you are. That is, it doesn't matter what you say you think, or what you say you think you are, even if at that time you actually believe it. It is the facts about what your thoughts are, not your opinions about what those thoughts are, that are the true matter of the case. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So you might ask, well, why does this even matter? It matters because the person in your seat is a divine being. God made you in his own image. God is a creator. He caused us, he made us to create. And we do that with our thoughts, with our words, and then with our actions. So your words are incredibly important. Your thoughts are incredibly important. Man becomes what he thinks, and what he thinks he is in the present will determine what he will become in the future. Is that true? I think it's true. It doesn't matter what you think you are. It doesn't matter if you think you're a good man. If most of your thoughts are not good thoughts, you can't be a good man. It doesn't matter if you think you're a positive man or woman, obviously. If most of your thoughts are of a negative nature, it's the quality, if you like, of your thoughts. It doesn't matter what I think I am. If I spend my time in worry, being anxious, fear, doubt, strife, anger, jealousy, greed, negativity, hard-heartedness, unbelief, at least at that particular point in time, that's where I am. My opinions don't matter on what I think I am. My opinions don't matter where I think I am.
Yeah.
It's the true nature of what I'm thinking. That is what I am. Does that make sense? I want to say a word of caution here. I'm not saying that just because you've had a bad thought in the week or that you said a bad word ever, that you're a bad person. That's not what's been said. But what we're talking about is a long-term, repetitive nature or habit of words and thoughts that are of a particular nature, that is what you are or become. Matthew 12:34 says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. James 3:1 talks about the tongue being like a rudder of a ship, which is a great analogy. Your tongue, it can steer your life. So I'm going to be a bit controversial. I want you, for those who will, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think about some of the words that you used over the last week. Some of the thoughts that you had over the last week. As I said, this is not about condemnation or anything like that. For those whose words or attitudes or what have you have not been the best. But if I have just built a logical argument as to how you are directing your life, wouldn't it be a good thing to take responsibility and start changing things for the better? Mm-hmm. Now that you've all agreed that you can.
Yeah.
I mean, some of you may be saying, well, in fact, you'll be saying to me, in fact, I have just said that if you change your thoughts, you will be a better person. Mm-hmm. On the surface, yes. But I want you to remember that that won't work unless you stop believing that you are what you think. You have to start believing that you are what you think. Yeah? I'm repeating myself over and over again simply because I know this, and yet, Owen, that you need to change your thinking for the better, and that will be by aligning yourself to what the Bible says. Jesus in Mark 7:15-16 says, There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile him. He's talking about your heart. So what I'm saying is that you are the sum total of the quality of your thoughts. And that it is that which will direct your life.
Yeah.
That is your God-given creative power in action.
Mm-hmm.
And the best news of it, the best news today is that you're in charge. You are actually in charge. You can choose different thoughts and feelings. You can choose different words and reactions. Therefore, you can choose to change the direction of your life.
Amen.
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 You know what the problem with that is, though? That demands responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
That demands commitment. That demands creating habits. That's called hard work. And in this day and age, in Western society, who wants to do hard work? But we're here. We're here to move from glory to glory to glory. No one said it was going to be easy. Jesus didn't say it was going to be easy. He did say it would be worth it. You know, some people, I've spoken about this before, and some people say, yeah, but, you know, you say this, but really, from what you say, where is God in all of this? God is supreme. He's the one. If God wills it, then it will be so. That's what the Bible says. And that's true. That is true. God is supreme. If God wills it, it will be so. But it was God's will to make you in his image.
Mm-hmm.
It was his will to give you free will. It was God's will that you reign as kings and queens on this planet in your world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's true.
True.
God, the Almighty, the cosmic king, didn't reverse Adam and Eve's thoughts, words, or decisions. If he's the creator, the God of all, he could have done, I guess, but he didn't. No. He actually created a workaround. That's how powerful man is.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. And it cost him to do so. There is absolutely no point, understand me, in praying for one thing when in your heart you are thinking, speaking, effectively praying something else. Oh God, please, please, I need an increase in income. And then the bill comes, and you're filled with doubt, and you're filled with, oh my Lord, what's going to happen now? What am I going to do? The fridge is empty. You can pray as much as you like to God. The real prayer, unfortunately, is that that's filled with doubt and fear. And we do it all the time. We do it all the time. When things are going wrong, let me ask you, is your first port of call scripture? Is your first port of call a picture in your mind of you being protected by your Father, his almighty righteous hand, angels by you, Jesus in front of you, looking into your eyes, calling you across the water? Is that what you see? Or if we're honest. Do we see calamity? Do we see problems? Do we see hard times? Are we struggling underneath the circumstances? Yeah? Do you look in the mirror? What do you see? Do you see something that you dislike? Something that you're disappointed with? What do you see? God says that you are an almighty creation. You're just a little lower than Him. But what do you see? What do you say? What do you think? What do you feel? See, there's a difference between words and words. You got to engage. When you engage in words, that's when things move. And most words and thoughts, where there is true engagement, is filled with fear, doubt, lack, what have you. So I'm asking you today to think about these things. When you think like that, you are steering your ship of life towards rocks of destruction. Does that seem negative? Yeah, it is. And lots of people are doing that. In fact, what we actually do is we're on the seesaw of life. And sometimes we're up, and sometimes we're down, and sometimes we're up, and sometimes we're down. And another year's gone, and we haven't gone anywhere. And we wonder why. Oh God! I'm praying. You're all looking at me funny. This is a hard message. Is this a hard message? Let me say this. There's only good or bad. There's only light and dark. There's God and there's everything else. Good thoughts, words, actions, to the nth degree, lead to love, beauty, God. That goodness, that's what it leads to. Bad thoughts, bad words, bad attitudes, all that kind of stuff. That's evil, that's negative. That just leads to destruction and death. Which way are you seesawing? When you are seesawing, can you catch yourself? You know, the devil is a deceiver, and he says to you, there is the world, there is circumstances, and then there's you. God says, you are powerful. You have authority. You have dominion. You have the power of death and life on your tongue. You can create and you can destroy. And then there is the world and the circumstances. It's a choice as to which you believe. It's a choice. Proverbs 4 says, guide your heart with all diligence. Let's be honest here. How many of us does that on a continual basis? So here's the thing. You're in a world where you're continually bombarded by ungodly things. keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it springs the issues of life. If you don't, you're bound to fall this way. That's the world you're in. You have to be proactive to move the seesaw to the positive, to the good. That's the only way that it's going to happen. You can't leave it to the world. The world will not offer you a bouquet of flowers and a bowl of fruit. You have to claim it. You have to grab it. So how do you do that? You need good habits in your life. Let me ask you another question. How many times per day do you use great words? I mean, the English language is fantastic. Love, life, abundance, beautiful, wonderful, joy, peace, tranquil, calm, nobility, gentle, fun, control, smiling, laughter, gentleness, faithfulness, strength, crown, throne, God, Jesus, love, lovely. Supposing that your life, your days were filled where such words were used continuously, not in some kind of weird way. There's a car crash over there. Oh my goodness, isn't that lovely? Do you know what I'm saying? If you deliberately directed your life towards the beautiful, towards the godly, towards the good, that's how you get there. The Bible is, and we all know what the word Bible stands for. Do we not?
Basic instructions
before leaving earth. Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. That's exactly what the Bible is. And it is packed, teeming with a repertoire of good words and thoughts. Good sayings. You know, things like Proverbs 3:5. I trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I do not lean on my own understanding. The kingdom of God is within me, and it's a kingdom of love. Luke 17:21. If God is for me, who can stand against me? I am not afraid. God has given me the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I ask and it is given to me. I seek and I find. I knock and the door is opened. Not only does the Bible give you words and scripture, but it tells you how to use them. And this is the key. Repeat. Repetition. That's how we learn. Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, that is what you think of. How many of us honestly truly do that? But we're told We're told what to do and how to do it. Philippians 4:6. I love this one. Do not be anxious about anything.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think it's pretty clear. Do not be anxious. When was the last time you were anxious and continued to be anxious? When did you engage your heart in thoughts and words of anxiousness? But the Bible says, do not be anxious. Why? Because your God... I have a screensaver thing, and it says, sleep well tonight, because your God is greater than any obstacle that you'll face in the morning. Do not be anxious. How about this one? Consider it pure joy when you encounter trials. Now, yeah, I've got to tell you, that's a hard one. That's a hard one. But it's an instruction. Why? Because that God is working greater miracles in you. You are more than a conqueror. You know, how can you be more than a conqueror? Because the victory has already been given to you.
Amen.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Your words are powerful. You need to engage your heart with your thoughts and with your words. Deliberately. Because when you do that deliberately, you move in that direction.
Amen.
When you do it undeliberately, the word is
unintentionally.
That'll do. Well, then you're all over the place, and it's your emotions, and usually it's negative. So, does that make sense? So here's the thing. Your God is within you. You have the power to create. We can move from glory to glory to glory. That is your one purpose. In fact, your one purpose on the planet is to hear at the end of your life, Jesus wrapping his arm around you and saying, my good and faithful servant. That's the goal of life. And we can move in that direction. But we have to do so deliberately. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Find the scriptures that work for you. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Let them become part of your life, part of your heart, so that when things occur, you can apply them. You don't have to know them word for word. It's the spirit behind the thing. Is that good? Amen.